You are listening to the Hirschsprungs Hour on UK Health Radio, where I interview incredible people with a connection to Hirschsprungs disease and other associated conditions, such as IBD, IBS, Crohn's, colitis, and ulcerative colitis. Each week, I bring you a new and exciting interview with people from all walks of life, including charity founders, models, and professional sports people. We go through the ups and downs of having Hirschsprungs with a positive message throughout.
Hello and welcome to episode 139 of Tom's Hirschsprungs podcast. I am really glad this morning to welcome back somebody who I think I've wanted back on the podcast. I think it's been for the last probably couple of years. I think we've been chatting back and forth and getting this organised. But I am really, really glad to be rejoined by Amy Morrisby. Amy, welcome back.
Thank you, Tom. We finally got there.
We did. I mean, we were just chatting a little bit off air about how long it's been. And This is, as I said, 139 now. You were episode 7, so you were right at the very beginning of, well, certainly my journey. And I really wanted to do this just to really catch up on how you've been, what's been going on in your life, because that has been incredibly busy. Incredibly busy, and obviously you'll get into that. But it's been quite a ride over the last couple of years or so. But yeah, what's been happening?
It has, and you know what a joy that it's been too, Tom, to carry on with the relationship as well. We're on opposite sides of the world, and I actually love how much we exchange and we talk and we catch up. And we've been trying to get on this pod back on this podcast for the longest time, I know. But life is just so full. And as you said, you know, it's just, I've got a lot going on. And when we first spoke, I was still in the early days of this new life of mine. And, you know, I was still studying, I was at uni. And for any new listeners, I was a late bloomer when it came to in the old university side of things. So I started uni in my 30s, and that was when Tom first reached out. You know, I had just begun my studies, and what has evolved and grown and manifested from that corner of my absolutely wild, and there's so much to talk about.
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, like you said, you were just finishing studies a couple, it must be about 2.5 years ago, I think, by now. And you were, yeah, I mean, so just to refresh people a little bit, what were you studying?
So I enrolled myself into university when I was 32 to do health science and nutrition. And it was just so fascinating because I have obviously lived with Hirschsprung's disease my whole life. I was diagnosed at 12 days old. And for anyone who hasn't heard the first episode yet, I had a full, complete, oh my gosh, now I'm having a mind blank. I'm going to have to edit this bit out. I had a total colectomy at 7 years old and was left with only 60 centimetres of ileum. So I've lived my entire life with just 60 centimeters of bowel. And I obviously am well and looking well now, but that wasn't always the case. And the reason I went into university was because I ended up having to have a hysterectomy when I was 30 because of multiple surgeries over my life that had just caused so much scar tissue from all of my abdominal procedures, and obviously scar tissue grows. It had grown onto my reproductive organs. It caused years and years and years of infertility and fertility treatments. I was fortunate enough to have one of my sisters carry my daughter for me. So at 27, my husband and I became parents through surrogacy. I was well enough to use my own eggs and my husband's sperm. So, you know, we were blessed with a beautiful daughter in 2016. And from there, I just, you know, I felt so unwell, not long off my 30th birthday. And all of my surgeons and my medical team made the consecutive decision that it was best to just remove my reproductive organs because I was ending up in hospital so often, just with so much horrific pain. And at the end of the day, it was a very, very long journey to become parents. So it just made sense to remove the problem, theoretically, now I can't even speak, theoretically speaking. And so we did that, and that was probably one of the hardest surgeries and procedures I've had over my entire existence, because what had actually happened was that scar tissue had grown from all of the adhesions of my my abdominal surgeries and all of my bowel surgeries, and actually caused like spider webs throughout my entire pelvis and my abdomen. And everything was kind of like glued together. It made sense as to why I kept miscarrying my babies as well, because nothing could expand. So all of this scar tissue was just essentially in the way. So it was a very, very extensive surgery, and it took three different surgeons to help get all of that out. So I had a full hysterectomy in 2020. And as I said, that was one of the most horrific, painful procedures and recoveries I've ever had. So I spent majority of my 2020 in and out of hospitals, multiple infections. A lot of time was spent laying down. It was the year of COVID, so there was many weeks I would be spending in hospital on my own. No one could visit me. I couldn't see my daughter. It just sent me down a, you know, it's I spiraled. My mental health and my physical health spiraled. I dropped to about 47 kilos. My mental health was just plummeting. But during that time, something happened, and I started to become aware of food for the first time in my life, because obviously I've always just been told to feed, just feed, just feed, feed the body. I have to eat every 2 to 3 hours, have to do this, have to do that to keep the bowels going, all of this stuff. But I was never told throughout my entire life what particular foods I should be eating and how they would be serving me, because I never knew until I became a university student that nutrients are absorbed in the colon. And I never knew this, and it made sense as to why my entire life, yes, I have bowel disease, but it made sense as to why my immune system was shot. I always was, my immune system was just so poorly all my life. And then, I would catch vomiting bugs easy. You couldn't come near me if you had a vomiting bug or anything like that. I fatigued very easy. My salt level and my electrolyte levels were always low, always. And I never knew that you could nourish yourself. This is going to sound crazy, but I never knew you could nourish yourself in a way that could actually improve your way of living and your way of life by the food that you eat. Because I guess when you're brought up in the medical system, you just think medicine and medicine only. So I tried to go back to work a couple of years after that procedure, and I just couldn't. It turned out that I was also riddled with endometriosis and all of this other stuff. And it was just crazy to me that there was little things I was starting to find out along the way that I just never knew to be true, because I didn't have access to dietitians, I didn't have access to nutritionists. I just, it was just not the part of the world that I grew up in. And although my parents did a beautiful job in keeping me alive, there was just things that we didn't have access to. So I thought, well, I'm in a really good part of adult life. I can afford to step back a little bit and study. So I actually went to university to just learn about food for my own self. What I didn't know what was going to transpire from there.
Absolutely. I mean, for anybody who's not heard part one, it is a wild story. I mean, I think certainly when I interviewed you the first time, I was a bit naive to sort of, because I hadn't interviewed many people with Hirschsprungs at that stage, and I thought, oh, maybe this is, the way for most people. No, it isn't. It is a remarkable story. And to think that, usually the bowel is sort of about 6 meters long or so, and you were left with just 60 centimeters.
Yeah, and it's called
And
long segment Hirschsprungs, which is extremely rare. Extremely rare. So I actually didn't even really know that I had long segment Hirschsprungs until I've been excited to tell you this story, by the way, until a couple of years ago when my surgeon, who saved my life at 12 days old, rang me out of the blue.
Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach. Here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving, it's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
Somewhere on Earth, there are 4 acres that belong to you. You don't need to be there in person, only there in purpose, protecting it, defending it, keeping it alive. Because the world doesn't need more good intentions. It needs more meaningful actions. Register your interest at 4acresearth.com.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Wow. Just out of the blue, just to say that you, what type of Hirschsprungs you had.
No, so he actually found, like, apparently he had still kept in contact with my mum. And this is Dr. Fred Leditsky. He's in his 90s. He has been retired for many years and he still kept in contact with my mum, with my mother. And anyway, he tracked down my number and he actually rang me a couple of years ago just to check in, just to see how I was going. He wanted to hear all about my life and it was just crazy. And then in that point, in that phone call was when he told me, you had long segment Hirschsprungs, and in all honesty, he's like, we did not think you were going to live. He said it still shocks him to this day, and it is still his most difficult case he's ever had to deal with.
Wow. I mean, to think of everything you've been through and think about the amount of bowel you lost and the complications you had. And I mean, your story is as much as it is a medical marvel, it's also a medical mystery, I guess, in terms of, how you were able to survive. But through sharing, because you've shared your story obviously multiple platforms and podcasts, have you sort of learned any more about how that happened, or is it still kind of a mystery?
Do you know that's actually on my list? Because even though I'm obsessed with nutrition and health and wellness, I'm a little bit of a nerd and I love research. I absolutely love it. But, and I'm sure you have found this too, Hirschsprungs is incredibly difficult to research. The studies on Hirschsprungs are incredibly low. And this is why I'm looking forward to getting over to the UK because it's actually more common in your country than it is in mine. And also in the States as well. I'm looking forward to getting over to the States because I would love to get into some medical advocacy work and I would actually love to work with some researchers and find out. Like, I just want to know.
It would be absolutely amazing. I mean, with the conference, I know we chatted a little bit before about the conference that I went to a couple of weeks ago, in London, and I always thought it was 1 in 5,000 because that was always the number that was given. But they said there that it's about, in the UK, sort of one in every 3,500. So it
Yeah,
is,
that's
you know,
wild.
you're right. It's probably more common in certain places. I mean, and there's people I've interviewed who, you know, their dad has it or their mum, or and then they have it and then their children have it. So I mean, that's three just in one family. So that covers another, you know, 10,000 people or whatever. So it is. Yeah, it's really, really interesting how it all kind of works out. But speaking of kind of the UK and touring, you are touring for a specific reason, because
Yes,
you have
yes.
something else to share.
I do, I do. So I'm very, very close to publishing my memoir, which I have wanted to do for a very, very long time, but it never felt like the right time. And I know that we're told, there is no right time, but there kind of is when you're doing something like this. And it makes sense to me now why it never felt right. And I just had so much more to live and learn before I put pen to paper. Because the last 6 years of my life, I'm 36 years old, by the way, the last 6 years of my life have been the most transformative of my entire 36 years. And now I know why there was just that part of me that was like, just keep waiting. Because there was also the fear of time. Anything can happen. You can be taken from this world at any point in time. And I would hate for something tragic to happen. And I never wrote the book. But I never felt that. It was always, no, there's just other things I need to learn first about myself and about, and about my diagnosis and about how I can actually turn my pain into purpose before I put pen to paper. And, as you said before, it's been a very busy couple of years. And the last 6 years have been, yes, very transformative in terms of rediscovering who I am, but who I am with Hirschsprung's disease, because when you live with it your entire life, it's just a part of you. You don't study it because it's just a part of you. You've known it for your entire life. So as a 20-something year old, I'm not researching Hirschsprung's on Google. I'm traveling and trying to have babies and building businesses and trying different careers. Like I'm off doing that kind of stuff. Because when you're compromised as a child, you get to adult life and all you want to do is try everything. You want to do all the things that you couldn't do when you were younger. So I was busy trying to have fun. But yeah, when I was forced to lay down and really then became quite physically compromised, I thought, no, this is where I need to start learning about Hirschsprung's and finding out as much as I can and how can I help other people, not just with Hirschsprung's, but with chronic illness in the scheme of things. And that can be, there's millions of chronic illnesses, and there's actually a lot of different strains of Hirschsprung's as well. There is people living with Hirschsprung's who have lived with it their entire life and don't know. There's just, it's crazy how some people are literally living with it. And here I thought just that anyone who has Hirschsprung's has only 60 centimeters of ileum and a stoma. That's all I grew up thinking. I didn't know that there was, Crohn's disease. It's almost like a brother to Hirschsprung's. It's crazy. It's all these things that I didn't know, and I was all of a sudden inquisitive. So I have spent so much time educating myself, learning about the human anatomy in terms of what happens when you're missing these major organs, not just in that area of the body, but how that affects people physically, mentally, emotionally. It compromises not just one part of your world, it compromises the entire world. So when I kind of reached that point, that I came into this year specifically, and I just knew. I just thought, no, it's time. I feel like I've lived a million years. I've lived 1 million years is what it feels like. And then, I've studied and now I help other people. I have a beautiful business that helps so many different people from different walks of life. And it's time to get it out there. So I just started writing.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, well, you've got plenty to write about. You're not going to be short on content. So
No.
how long roughly is it sort of taken you to write the whole thing?
So I took a bit of a different approach. So they say when you write a book, it's just, you've got to carve out time, write when it feels good, all this kind of stuff. And it can take some people years. But given that I know my own life very well, I thought, how hard can it be to sit down and write about your own life? It's not like I've got to try and make the story up. I just know the story. So I actually, because I am, if I'm in my environment, I can't concentrate. And, I'm also a mum and a woman. So I'm constantly doing 50 million things at once. Whereas my husband was like, you need to just get out of here. So I jumped on a plane, went as far as I could. I went down to Sydney and for 10 days, I just wrote. I just wrote. And in 10 days, I wrote 60,000 words. I just kept going. I just kept going and going and going. And isn't it incredible that there's many pockets of my life that I don't remember because I was either he heavily medicated or extremely unwell, or it was just a bad year. Who remembers what happened in their sixth year of life? But I tell you what, something my book coach did say to me is she said, when you start this process, you will just be blown away at what comes. And it was so true. I just started writing. I wrote a timeline, obviously my birth year, right up to how old I am now. I wrote down all of the major events in my life, which there's a few, and then just went year by year and just filled in the gaps. But the things that came to me were deep. They were deep. I was remembering procedures that I'd had when I was younger that were excruciating. I went back into medical rooms as a child that were really scary. So it was a very deep and emotional and exhausting process, don't get me wrong. But the best thing I did was take that 10 days and just get it out. I just got it all out on paper. It didn't matter to me at the time whether it sounded right or whether the spelling was good. That's not my job. My job is to just get it on paper. So I did that. When I got back, that was back in May. When I got back, I just got straight into Google and just started Googling publishers, editors, PR managers, anything to do with book writing I could find, until I actually found someone literally down the road from me. So I'm in the Gold Coast, and my production manager is in Brisbane. And it turns out she's been doing this for years and years and years, and she runs her own business, and she has editors, she has cover designers, she has all of these beautiful people that you need when you're publishing a book. And I signed the contract and we got to work.
Amazing.
And the editing process has been probably the most difficult part because you've got to read and read and read. You've got to read and edit, read and edit. You get to a point where you're like, oh my God, who's going to want to hear this? Because you've heard it 40,000 times. But it never gets old reading some of those moments where you just think, how could a human go through that?
Because this, I mean, there's two really good points you make there. Is one, obviously, going through your own story, because some of it, and I think the brain does this to a certain extent, that it does black out certain bits and pieces, and when you then relive that, it's incredibly emotional. I mean, even when I wrote my own story, just a few paragraphs of it, not a lot, it still brings back a lot of things that you thought that you either don't think about anymore, or that you didn't know existed, and then you realize they have, and you think, wow, how did I do that? I mean, it must have been a lot of times like that.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Good. What if your worst dreams aren't your enemy?
Falling, cheating, being chased, naked, drowning, losing teeth. What if I fail? What if something goes wrong?
I'm Teresa Chung, dream expert, best-selling author, and co-host of The Healing Power of Your Dreams. And in my latest title, Extreme Dreaming, I reveal a powerful truth. There are no bad dreams.
They feel so real, but that's so you remember them.
They're messages, signals, transformative gifts guiding you toward clarity.
Click on the Extreme Dreaming discount banner link on UK Health Radio homepage and learn to decode even your darkest dreams.
Extreme Dreaming.
Are you ready to listen?
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Yeah, especially when I was younger. So my first 7 years of life were the worst because, you know, not only was I little, but also it was the 90s. And, you know, medicine has come a long way. We can say that. It's modern medicine has definitely come a long way. But I was born in 1990 where no one really knew what Hirschsprung's disease was. So it's almost like I was the trial and error child. And you would not even believe this. 2 weeks before I left for Sydney, my mum was like, "Oh, I found this yellow folder. You might want to take a look at it." And I'm not even joking you. I've got photos of it because it will go into the book, but it is all the handwritten letters from my doctor from when I was born. All the triage notes. It's notes, it's faxes, it's notes he's written to fax to other surgeons to get medical opinions. It's discharge notes, it's admission notes. There's a note there a couple of days after my mum and dad got married. I actually had a seizure and on their honeymoon, and there is notes in there about that seizure that I had. I was on life support for a few days. I was airlifted to Brisbane. It's like all of this is in there. It's incredible. Just crazy. And it showed up 2 weeks before I left to write my book.
Just fate would have it.
Mm. And that's what I mean by I always knew there was a reason that I had to wait. And I just never knew why. Just write the damn book. Just write the damn book, I'd say to myself. But internally, I just knew there was a reason I had to wait. And some of these notes, going through them, was really difficult to read. Really difficult. You can see that there's language within these fax documents where you can tell the doctors just really didn't know what was going on with me or why I was even alive.
Yeah, I mean that is the that's the peculiarity of it. That I mean, because your Hirschsprung's is so severe and rare. It's really kind of, yeah, a medical mystery, kind of, as we said at the beginning, a medical mystery. And but brilliant, though. I mean,
unbelievable. Yeah. Unbelievable. So Dr. Fred Leditsky actually rang me about 12 months ago to ask for my permission to put me in contact with, would you believe, another patient that he still has contact with from the 90s. It was a boy that was born with Hirschsprung's disease, but not in the severity that I had. He has gone on to live a life without a stoma, fortunately. But sadly, this gentleman and his wife had a baby last year, and it was born with long segment Hirschsprung's. They found only 65 centimetres of ileum that had working ganglion cells. That's only 5 centimetres more than what I had. And the baby is incredibly, incredibly unwell. It was about 3 months old at this point when he had rung me in by the time they got the diagnosis. And the parents didn't know what to do. They just didn't know what the quality of life could look like for this baby. They wanted to know, you know, what could life look like if they kept pushing and asking for more answers and trying to get more answers. And I said, of course, pass on my details. I'd be happy to show them what 60 centimeters of allium can look like. Of course, every case is different. And I never ended up hearing back, and I got a phone call 2 weeks later, and unfortunately that baby passed away, because it just wasn't enough. It wasn't enough. And in that moment, in my whole 36 years, was the moment that I've realized that it is an absolute God-given miracle that I am literally here. And it was literally like, even though I know how sick I am and I know the extent of my condition and my Hirschsprung's, but it wasn't until I'd heard those words come out of his mouth that that baby had died that I realized how bizarre it is that I am here.
And not just here, though, are you? Not just here, you are also thriving. You know, you're not just, and it's another reason why I really wanted to chat to you again, because you're not just, you know, living and surviving. You know, if anybody didn't know your Hirschsprung's condition and just knew you as Amy, the nutritionist, Amy, the wellness practitioner, you know, they wouldn't know necessarily
No.
that you had this, because they'd just go, oh yeah, she's doing really, really well, you know. And I think that's the side of Hirschsprung's, that because there might be people who, you know, listen to this or follow your Instagram, who didn't know you had Hirschsprung's and just sort of came across, you know. But it's one of those conditions where it can be hidden quite a lot, and people maybe don't see the other side of it, which is, again, a couple of posts you've done sort of recently that I've seen where you have sort of showed the other side, of sort of, you know, yes, to the sort of outside, you know, you're doing this, that, the other, you're publishing the book and you're doing classes and etc. And then on the other side, you know, then the sort of Hirschsprung side and the fatigue and all of that stuff. So I think that's also been something I've been sort of following as well, that you've shared both sides, which I think is makes that sort of really real and honest.
And I think that's where I really am leaning in towards. Being my point of difference as well, is you tend to follow these beautiful advocates advocating for whatever condition they've got, but that's all that's on their page. And that is so fine. There is nothing wrong with that. They are just as inspiring, honestly. And I follow a lot of those kind of accounts because they inspire me. But I really, really want to advocate for those who do want to do just more than survive. They want to live. They, even though they've got their chronic illness or their condition or their whatever it is, I want people to know that they are not that diagnosis. They are not their diagnosis. And there is more to living than just trying to survive every day. And we are allowed to have hopes and dreams. We are allowed to have careers. We are allowed to wake up every day and say, I want to be so rich that I want to take my whole family over to Italy. We should be able to have those hopes and dreams and desires just as everyone else without sharing constantly just what the bad days look like. Because that's not fun to share, first of all. I don't want to share that, halfway through teaching a class the other day, my bag was leaking and there was nothing I could do about it. I just had to roll with it and improvise. You can't, like, you just, although it's inspiring and it would, it would get the clicks and all this kind of stuff, I don't want to share that side of my life all the time. I want to show that despite what I have been through and my crazy diagnosis, that I still can be successful and do everything that everyone else can do.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Which is, again, that's where we're sort of on completely the same wavelength, because those are the types of people like yourself I wanted to find when I started this, you know. People who, you know, would go, well, actually, yes, this happened to me and it wasn't very nice, but I can still do X, Y, and Z, which I love.
1,000%. And I can't wait to get over and like once my book is here, like it's being published in November, but the big goal is to get into other countries where Hirschsprung's is a little bit more common and meet more people like yourself an advocate in that way as well. I want to be at medical conferences. I want to stand up in front of people that think that if their baby is born with 60 centimeters of ileum that's working and that's it, that they're, nothing's going to happen for their child. I want them to see what's possible.
Yeah, definitely,
And
definitely.
same goes for the doctors as well. I want the doctors to see what's possible.
Yeah, because again, it's a condition that as a doctor you're not going to come across every day, you know,
No.
or year, or even every 5 years. You know, it is by definition it's a rare condition. So it is going to you're not going to necessarily come across it, or certainly come across a lot of people, or
No.
like. You know, like you've seen and I've seen, there are completely different stories, you know, all across the world. It's like you said when you were growing up, and I thought the same thing as well, that when you have Hirschsprungs, well, everyone's like me. We just all have the same thing. But it's just not the case, is it?
No, and a lot of people probably don't realize either that Hirschsprungs is more common in males,
Yeah.
and that's why it wasn't even considered when I was first born, because I was born a female.
Yeah, and that's the other thing I hear from people as well, because I think it's about 4-to-1 ratio male to female,
It's actually
and
crazy.
yeah, and there are so many women I've spoken to who have Hirschsprungs where it's just ruled out because they said, well, you're a woman, you can't have Hirschsprungs. Well, that's just not true.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. My goal is to get more awareness around the world for not just Hirschsprungs, but for Hirschsprungs in women. Hirschsprungs in women, because on top of that, then a lot of people don't realize that when you have Hirschsprungs as a woman and you're having to have multiple surgeries, well, then what those surgeries then do to the reproductive organs, which are amongst all of that surgery.
Hugely, hugely,
Wasn't
and I
something I
think.
ever considered. I was only ever told, oh, I don't know if you'll be able to have children or not. That's all I was ever told. I wasn't told anything else that, all of this pelvic surgery and abdominal surgery that I've had could be affecting my reproductive organs along the way.
But
I found out the hard way.
through your case and your research, obviously you're then able to potentially help women in the future.
That's right. And I say to like a lot of women who I have women that have Hirschsprung's disease from all over the world come into my DMs all the time. And I always say to them, if you are young, get your eggs checked, get your ovaries checked, not because you want to have that in the back of your mind, oh, I don't know if I'll be able to have children, but because there's beautiful things now like IVF. So if you're young and you're in a reasonably good state of health and are able to get some eggs collected, why not? Just things like this that, fortunately, because I met my husband young and we were able to start IVF young. Otherwise, if I never met him, look how unwell I was when I was 30. Because that scar tissue had grown so far down and created so many issues.
Yeah, absolutely.
It would have been a very did
Absolutely.
my daughter wouldn't be here.
No, but it does, like you say, you know, planning early and thinking ahead in the future has been, you know, lifesaver. But
Yeah,
yeah,
that's
but
right.
no. But you mentioned earlier as well about touring and about going there to various places with your book tour. Would you like to talk a little bit about that?
So the book will be published in November, which is very fun. And I plan to do a little bit of touring in Australia when the book is fresh. The big cities, Sydney, I'm in Gold Coast, so it'll be, Sydney, Melbourne, Adelaide, all of those beautiful, fun places. But I'm desperate to get over to the States and over to the UK. And I have planned it around the time of Rare Disease Day and also International Women's Day. Obviously, they're two very significant dates that relate to me very well, not just as in because I'm a Hirschsprung's advocate, but also because of my profession as well. And, the ability to deliver what I know from an educated standpoint to also a lived-in experience standpoint. So I am in the process of trying to secure some speaking and interviews and just all of the things. I'd love to do 2 weeks in America and then followed by 2 weeks in the UK. So dates that I'm looking at are definitely late February, early March. So I'm very much looking forward to, I've got a meeting with my PR team next week and they're going to start reaching out to different parts of the world and see what we can pull together. But yeah, my goal is to get the book into the US and to the UK market because that's where Hirschsprungs is predominantly.
Yeah, hugely. And I think just probably because of the people I've spoken to, I know I'm UK based, so I'm probably going to be speaking to more UK people. I speak to a lot of people in America as well, because again, it's you've got reach over there, the charity you've got, and you've got so many cases of Hirschsprungs over there as well. I don't know about other countries and whatnot, but certainly UK and US, like you said, very, very prevalent. And we'll have to organize the next Hirschsprungs event around late February, early March in London.
Yes, we will. And I think too, like I was saying to you before, but being a woman with Hirschsprung's disease, tying it around that International Women's Day, it just made sense. It just made, and obviously Rare Disease Day. I mean, why not?
Absolutely,
And plus
absolutely.
the time of the world. I'm not coming to anyone's country in the middle of winter. So
Don't worry, it'll still be cold when you get here. Don't
yeah,
worry.
that's okay. I can deal with cold, but not freezing cold.
That sounds
Yeah,
fantastic.
so yeah, big things coming and bigger things coming and yeah, it's
Love
fun.
it.
Gonna
I
be
love it.
great.
I love it. You can be my next celebrity guest speaker.
Oh, I will be there. And we can do it in person.
That would be incredible. That would be
That's just
incredible.
the that's the best part. I'm a really in-person person. It sounds like a mouthful, but it really is. And I was even speaking to an organization over in Vegas, and they do a huge conference each year. And when I was pitching to them that, look, I would love to come over and speak, I was like, I will come over and speak, like in person. I don't want to be on the big screen in a Zoom. No, you can't feel the same energy.
No, it's not. It's not. I mean, we've had the last couple of Hirschsprung's days, I've had guest speakers, and one came from another country, and Zoe Colletti came over from America, an actress from America, and she just happened to be in London filming, and then made her way to Liverpool and became the guest speaker there, and that was incredible, absolutely incredible to meet her in person,
Oh, of
you know.
course.
Brilliant. So yeah, I totally get that experience of being, it's different meeting people in person than it
Feeling the
is.
energy. It's just I'm an energy person and just being in the same room and the same vicinity of anyone that you're trying to connect with, or even just because I'm telling a very personal story, doing that in person to people who are literally there to learn from you and to be inspired and motivated by you, it's got to be in person.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm a
Exactly.
hugger. I'm a hugger, so I'll hug everyone.
Yeah, same. Same. It was exactly the same 2 weeks ago. Exactly the same 2 weeks ago. But yeah, I mean that the certainly the idea is to do more Hirschsprungs events in the UK when I was speaking to the guys who were organizing it. And to do it in various different places. So if we can organize another one, we'll crack on to it straight away if we're going to organize it for February, March. But if we can organize it for February, March, that would be great. I've done it before. I can do it again.
Absolutely, you can. Oh my gosh, we've done way harder things. We can do this.
Exactly. I'll be able to coordinate some people in some place before so we can do it again. But no,
That's
I think
right.
that's incredible. And I can't wait for this book to come out, because I
Yes.
mean, I know we've done a couple of podcasts now, and I've listened to a couple of your other podcasts with people who are way more famous than I am, way more famous than I am.
In this
But
country.
but Yeah, and I can't wait for this because it's I'm sure there's going to be lots of bits and pieces in there that will be relevant to everyone with Hirschsprungs. Really, really relevant. And I
And
think
just anyone with chronic illness who, one thing I'm really passionate about is people who live with chronic illness and have been dismissed before. That's a big thing for me. I mean, I haven't been dismissed about Hirschsprungs, but I was definitely dismissed along the way about different things, and I talk about that in the book, and it's not nice. Yeah, it's got a heck of a punch to it.
Yes, definitely, definitely. But no, thank you so much for doing this. It's been so good to catch up again,
Oh,
finally.
I know, I know, I know. It's so excited for this. So excited. It took us a couple of goes, but we got there.
Yeah, but
Thank
I wish you just so much success with the book, with business, with the publishing, and just everything really, 'cause I can't wait to see. I'll be following. I can't wait to see
you.
what's next for you because it looks like it's going to be amazing. Hopefully, we'll meet up in person next year or something like
Well,
that.
look,
Would be
it's within the
brilliant.
year. I think we'll be getting a photo together, and yeah, then we can say to everyone that we met in person and
Yeah.
we met online all those years ago.
Be incredible. Be incredible. But
Yeah.
right, I wish you so much success with everything. And
Yep. And
yeah,
same to you,
thank you so
Tom.
much.
Yeah. Same to you. You're doing great things as well. This podcast is doing more than you think.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Hirschsprungs Hour on UK Health Radio. You can find me on Facebook under Tom's Hirschsprungs Podcast or Instagram on Tom's_Hirschsprungs_podcast. I hope you enjoyed the show and we'll bring you another episode soon.